There is a sentence in the Constitution of the State of Indiana that says that all citizens of Indiana shall be entitled to bail. I think it says speedy bail. You got to have bail speedily and been bailed out of jail speedily. So bail has always been a basic part of the criminal justice system of this state ever since people was walking barefoot and the roads then were better than the streets are today. And it's a part of the system that people don't know a lot about. And about a month and a half ago, I had the privilege of sitting down with some, gentlemen and ladies who are in the business of, bail bonds. And they are multiracial. And they told me about us. I'm familiar with folks like, you know, the great Damon Roach, who, you know, who's done this for and his family for many, many years, but learned some things, and invited them to come on the program. And in the house today are bail bondsmen, Byron Frierson, Mark Thompson, Lionel Wooden, and Kevin Watkins. Brothers, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let me start with a basic, simple question. What does a bail bondsman do? What do y'all do? Come on now, don't be shy. Speak up.
Well, basically we're a symbol. We're just agents, just like an insurance agent, but we write bail bonds. And for a 10% premium, just like a car insurance premium, homeowner's premium, we write a bond, which you could call a policy, right, to ensure the appearance in court.
So if I were to get in trouble and the man comes and locks me up and says, you're charged with being stupid on the radio 10 hours a week, a felony, and they say your bond to get out of jail is $10,000. What does that mean? If I had to come to you and say, you got to get me out of this charge of being stupid on the radio 10 hours a week.
That means that you have to pay $10,000 cash or 10% surety to the surety, 10% of that cash bond to a surety company.
Which is somebody like you.
Which we're the surety company for. That's what we're in business for.
So in order to get
commercial bail.
So in order for me to get out of the beautiful Marion County Jail, I would either have to find $10,000 hard cash, or somebody comes to you, gives you $1,000, and then you're on the hook making sure I, show up in court?
Yes.
So what happens if they let me out on bond, and I decide I want to go to the south of France or sneak across the Canadian border and go to Toronto? Then what happens?
Then our surety company is responsible for you, and we're responsible to getting you back into court, to getting you back to your court date.
What if I don't want to come back to court?
Then that's what the surety company is for. Our surety company protects that. Then our it would become a forfeiture, and then we would have to pay the forfeiture for that.
And so you would then be stuck with the $10,000.
$10,000.
And I get the feeling, looking at y'all, y'all don't like to give up nobody's money.
No. No, sir.
So that means you'd have to come after me?
Yes.
So no matter what, in this case, Amos, the court's in a win-win situation.
Okay.
So if we don't get you and you go off wherever, we still got to put that $10,000 up, okay? Mm-hmm. So the court's not going to lose, okay? We got to, if we don't get you back in court, we got to pay for it. It's just that simple.
Does the law allow you the opportunity to go find, in other words, if I'm hiding in Canada or if I'm hiding in Nevada somewhere, does the law allow you the opportunity to go find me and try to bring me back, like that dog the bounty hunter show or something?
Well, Amos, as long as you're within the perimeter of the United States, yes. Crossing, you know, out of the country, you have a different situation.
I'd have to worry about the FBI or somebody coming after
Interpol,
me.
FBI.
All them little people. But yes, if sir. I was in the continental United States, you could come and get me.
Yeah, and have done it many times. Yes, sir.
You big, yeah, too.
We go everywhere.
Yeah, we go all
over the country. No matter where you go, we coming to see you. Okay?
If Florida, I don't show up to court.
If you don't show up, we're gonna be at your door eventually.
Is this a dangerous profession to be in? Is this a do bail bonds men and women, are there some that have lost their lives in the line of duty?
Without a doubt. Very, very dangerous business. You know, just like about a month or more ago, IMPD, some guys were serving a warrant, and they got shot. You know, it can happen to us all the same. Mm-hmm. And there have been some bondsmen across the country that has lost their lives doing this business. But you have to be careful. You got to go, you got to approach this in a different light.
Okay.
And if you don't, you know, you want to come home at night. Mm-hmm. You go out, you want to come home. So if you don't approach it in the right way, you might not make it home.
So this sounds like a very, very simple proposition. You guys are the middle person to assure the court system that I would show up in court on all of my court dates. And if not, then you coming after me because you want your money back. So it seemed to me that the court would welcome you in open arms, that you all would be great partners with the criminal justice system here in Marion County. But I get the feeling the, one of the reasons you're here is that kumbaya is not kumbayaing too well. Is that fair to say?
That is very.
So wait a minute. Well, how can it not be? You guys are here guaranteeing, putting your dollars on the line, in some cases, your physical lives on the line to make sure the system works. Why wouldn't, if I'm the court and the judges, and the judges were all here yesterday, and they're nice people, I want you on my side. I want to help y'all. What's happening?
Well, in some cases, let's say, for instance, if a person failed to appear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the law says it's supposed to be full cash or surety.
Right.
So when the person is out on a cash bond, and let's say outline this, if a person is out on a cash bond, they go out of the state of Indiana, there's no resources to go after that person. But through us, if they're on a surety bond, if they go across the state lines out of the state of Indiana, we're going to get them and we're going to have them back here into the judicial system.
So wait a minute. So you're telling me if the police picked up Michael Corleone and he's charged with, because he did a whole lot of stuff, and they put $1 million bond on Michael Corleone, his lawyer brings out the briefcase, there's $1 million in cash. Mm-hmm. Then there's nothing to keep Michael Corleone from going to Bermuda somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if he leaves, the courts just made $1 million.
They get the money.
The courts keeps the money.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
So you're telling me if it was a cash bond.
Yes.
This is money that's not going to fix the potholes in the street.
No, sir.
This is money that's going to the court.
This goes to the courts.
What they doing with the money? Is that in the fund to build a new building or what?
I think Mark should be.
Yeah, Mark, what are they doing with the money?
Well, it's by statute, the money should be handed over to the state, and it goes to the Common School Fund, the Policeman's and Law Enforcement's Retirement Fund, and then the County Extradition Fund.
Okay.
But we know the County Extradition Fund is dried up, and there's, you know, the schools are crying because they have no money, so... it's a thing where we don't know where the money's going.
So if the Michael Corleone posts a big cash bond that is supposed to be split between our schools, and we got 11 school corporations in Marion County, and we all know our police and firefighters, you know, any money that goes in the pension fund is well deserved. What's the county extradition fund? Is that to put money for Sheriff Layton to have his guys go and look for somebody that's wanted?
Not look for somebody, but somebody that's already been picked up in another state or another county.
To pay the bus fare to get him back.
Yeah, get him back in here.
Oh.
Exactly. Well, he has no money.
Okay.
That's just, we don't know where the money's going.
Why would the courts want to do more cash bonds when you guys do all the work for them?
Well, some of the problem is, when the property tax caps come about,
okay,
you know, the local governments, you know, everybody's scrambling for money. So the court system and the criminal court system has become on the bail side, is becoming a cash cow.
Right.
That generates revenue for them. Instead of becoming an appearance in court, it's become a revenue-generating machine instead of appearance in court type thing.
239-1310. We're learning about the bail bond system. 239-1310. 239-1310. You got a question or a comment? You can get in touch with us that way, or you can send us a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. 37890, keyword Amos. Or you can send me an email at praiseindy.com. Praiseindy.com. Let me go to the phones. Put your ears on, guys. And Anonymous. Hi there.
Hello.
How are you?
Hi, Amos. I have, from listening to you just talking, I've got another question now. But I've got a statement and question, and I'll just hang up and let them answer. The first one is, when you do a cash bond for someone who is waiting court, they tell you that you'll get your money back once they show up in the court. But then when you go to sign to get your money back, they tell you it's up to the discretion of the judge if you'll get that money back or not. And that happened to me for the first time. So for if the I want to know, why would the judge not give the person putting up the bail for the person back their money? My second question is, does the bail bondsman also, I want to make sure it's the right entity, bond somebody, like I got custody of a family member, and I had to be licensed and bonded, and I had to go pay this fee. What is that purpose for that? I mean, what does that do for the, say, the guardian over the their loved one?
All right, anonymous, hold on, don't hang up, because okay. We might have ask you a question. If she was the one that or had to pay a cash bond for somebody, she doesn't get that money back. I guess she was told, or the inference was, that she would get the money back if the person showed up in court. Does she get that money back? Or,
well, when they first started using the cash bonds and the 10% cash deposit bonds, that was the supposed to have happened. But and technically, the statute lets them take that money and use it for fees, fines, and costs and stuff like that. But what we found out now with the bigger cash bonds that they use, they're allowing the defense attorneys to put liens on that money and then take that money instead of being able to use it for other things.
This goes back to a dumb question. So going back to my example of I was being accused of the felony for being dumb on the radio 10 hours a week. If I show up in court every time I'm supposed to show up, and then I'm found not guilty, do I get the $1,000 back that I paid you originally under the surety bond? Or that's just I'm out the cost of doing business?
No, you don't get it back, Amos, in a case like that. Okay. Once you post bond with a bondsman on a surety, no matter what happens, well, how the outcome is,
right,
the money is not refundable.
All right. If it is a cash bond and the person is found not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in court, does that money get refunded, or that's the cost of doing business?
And I think Mark kind of touched on that. Outside of court costs and fees, you know, whatever the judge might implement in that situation, that money should come back to you. It should come back to you, if I'm not mistaken, in full. Okay.
Or 95%. Yeah, they got to keep a cut. The other question that the caller had was if she had to be licensed and bonded. And anonymous caller, you were licensed and bonded for what?
For guardianship of a family member.
For guardianship. Is that regulated by the same agency that regulates you, or that's something different? All right, these guys say that's something different.
Yeah, we don't handle that situation.
You handle it, but the agency of the state that regulates you regulate that.
Yes, part of insurance. I mean, all of it's in the that's what you call a probate bond. And
so this is all insurance?
Insurance, that's what it is. It's just, we're just agents, but we do bonds. Just like an insurance agent for State Farm, an insurance agent for
Allstate.
So
you're like Flo, only you got more muscles.
Flow with arrest powers.
Flow with... Dennis Haysbert with real arrest powers. That's an interesting way to say that. I appreciate it, Anonymous. Thank you. Let me go to Marvin at 239-1310. Hi there.
I wanted to ask the bondsman about when bondsman takes property. I can tell you of a situation where the bondsman had the person, they knew the person didn't have the money, had them write a check that they knew was no good, never tried to cash it, and then they took a car. They waited for the person to get out, and then the person signed another car that they had owned outright, and then the car that they had was the car they were paying payments on, and they were supposed to give that car back. However, this bondsman was a unscrupulous guy. You would know him if I said his name, but I won't say his name. And so what he did was try to keep both of the cars, sneak and get a lien on the one that they were making payments on, and then the one they signed over. And so when the person fought him for the car back that they were still paying payments on, about 6 months later, he went to the prosecutor and said that they wrote him a bad check And 6 months later, they never cashed a check or anything, or even tried to, because the prosecutor used that as an opportunity to get my cousin back in jail. They took the, they went ahead and revoked his bond because of that check, even though they knew the circumstance. He had a public defender. He didn't try to help him. You know, he just went along with whatever they were doing. So how does that work when they're doing, dealing with property and stuff like that?
Sir, the property is typically only used to further secure the bond itself. It's normally used as collateral. When you do the premium is supposed to be either U.S. currency in the form of money or normally we do credit cards. We don't too much deal with checks anymore because of that type of problem. But in no time at all should a vehicle ever have been used to secure that bond.
And that's funny. That shows you how the, and that's what this person's sister, who was a bondswoman, told the family. They said, oh, and talked about her relative and said, oh, you got hooked up with the wrong person. And they said that, but the prosecutor, because they wanted him back in jail, they went along with it. And he didn't have a lawyer to help defend him, and the public defense didn't do anything about it. So he lost his car, which was a $1,500 bond. The car he gave him, I think he said, was about $4,000 or $5,000. The other car, and went back to jail. So,
well, here's the other thing, Ken. If you all are regulated by the Indiana Department of Insurance, that means any complaint about your service would be directed to the Department of Insurance, just like if you had a concern about your car insurance agent or your homeowner's insurance agent, that's where you would make that complaint to the Indiana Department of Insurance.
Yes.
See the things we're learning. 239-1310. 239-1310 is after his name is. We're learning about a side of the justice system. It's called bail bonds. And when we come back, we answer the question, what happens with the bail money? Sounds like you're not supposed to get it back. What happens to it if you're found not guilty? The other question is, what happens if you are found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in the court of law? What happens to the money then? And you may have questions. And then there's also this concern, if the judges and the courts are having more cash bonds and the money's supposed to go to our schools and our pensions, where the money going and how much money is it? Maybe that's how they're going to fund the new jail courthouse building or something. It's after News with Amos, after these. We're talking about part of the criminal justice system that doesn't get talked about a lot. It is the bail bond system. We're here with bail bondsman Byron Frierson, Mark Thompson, Lionel Wooden, and Kevin Watkins. Let me go back to something. This might be a little confusing. I thought all along that bail bond, that they set an amount, and you could go to the bail bondsman, pay 10%. The bail bondsman, you know, is putting up the money. And if you don't show up, and then this guy, especially over here, is going, he's real big too. He scares me, right? That he's going to come and get me. Okay, I got that. So I don't understand why anybody, even Michael Corleone, would accept paying 100% of the amount of the cash bond. Any red-blooded American, given the choice between paying all of a amount out of their pocket or just 10%, is going with 10%. Who determines whether that defendant and the defendant's family is paying all the amount or the 10%? Is that the judge? And now y'all getting quiet. Don't get quieter on me now.
The judge determines that.
Whether I'm paying all or just the 10%?
Yes, and they've come up with what they call a hybrid bond, where they have a 10% cash deposit bond, where the judge actually becomes a bail bondsman, and you pay the court the 10%, and they hold on to it. So
wait, they're going to hire some of you big, beefy guys to go track them down all over the country?
No, they let the taxpayer eat that cost. When they don't show up for court, there's nobody goes out and looks for them. The sheriff's department has a group of about six people, but, you know, when you got tens of thousands of open warrants they can't keep up with FTAs.
So you guys, if they're paying if you're carrying the bond, then you're saving the taxpayers' money because it's on you to go get Michael Corleone and them.
Yes, and that's the name of the game. If we don't find them and can't bring them back, then we got to pay the bond.
Is there a potential federal lawsuit here? Because something, the honorary lawyer in me says, how can a court determine what a person ought to pay in order to receive liberty? In other words, if a person wants to employ a bail bondsman, that ought to be their right to do so rather than be forced to pay 100% of the money or let the court do it. That's the part I don't understand. It would seem to me that that's a basic American right that goes not only back to the Indiana Constitution, but goes back to equal protection under the law.
Well, the statutes give the judges the discretion to tell you what the amount of the bond, but they've got into telling you how to spend your money also, and the appellate court has come down on trial courts twice now in the last couple of years saying that it's not in their discretion, but so far the trial court judges, they won't follow.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Under the law, bail is to ensure appearance.
That's
not
it.
Necessarily to keep you locked up. Now, obviously, they will put a high bail on somebody that we really don't want out on the street, and you really don't want to be looking for him anyway. Mass murderer out, Al Qaeda, the boogeyman, or somebody like that. Yeah, you're going to want $1 million cash bond, because if it's $1 million surety, then somebody's going to put, all they need to do is put up $100,000, but then you guys are on the hook for $900, and you have the ability to say no to somebody. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. 239-1310. See the things we're learning. Let me go to another anonymous. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Hey, I want to know this question. Under the law, what is the penalty of a bail bond opposing that he's a police and no, he's not? And I'll take my answer off there. Thank you.
If you all can, in terms of doing your job, is it illegal to impersonate the police?
Yes, it is.
It is.
We are bail agents and, according to the statute, fugitive recovery agents as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a bail and fugitive recovery agent. Now, a lot of people will always think that we are the police, and you have to sometimes tell them that, no, I'm not. I'm a recovery agent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I always address myself. And that's the way we all address ourselves, especially when we're serving a warrant.
If you're serving a warrant, and obviously you are licensed to carry firearms legally and responsibly, and the NRA would probably love y'all because, you're doing all the right things.
That's correct.
But if you got a windbreaker on, does the windbreaker say agent? Does the windbreaker – the windbreaker would say agent.
Yes.
So it's reasonable that somebody looking out their window wondering what's going on could see agent and think, like television, that it's the police, because they would think police is agent.
Yes.
Okay.
We're definitely
But agent is the term. Agent is the legal term.
Okay. Exactly. Now, Amos, I'm going to be, quite frank with you. And I know there's guys out there that when they do go out and serve warrants or whatever to pick people up, they probably don't have something on showing that they are bail agent, mm-hmm. okay? And that might be what the call is probably referring to. And that's pretty much a mistake on their behalf not to do that, okay? Because you want to be able to describe yourself. You want to have your badge on. You want to have your vests on. You want to make sure you're protected. You want to make sure people know who you are when you step out there.
Because if you're out there with the windbreaker, wouldn't the windbreaker be covering some kind of armed protection under you, so the bullet, don't go where it's supposed to go?
Then we have our own set of authority. So, I mean, it's really senseless to say you're the police. Every entity of enforcement does not have to be the police.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have our own set of rules. We have our own set of authority. So whoever this guy is, more than likely, he's probably not even a bail agent.
Mm-hmm. It's somebody doing some other mess. Let me go to another anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is really twofold. I bailed someone out of jail, and really they never came to trial. The case never went to trial. So shouldn't I have recouped my bail money automatically? And if so, is there a limitation on the amount of time that I can get that money back?
That is a great question. So you went through a bail bondsman, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so if somebody goes to you all and the case is dropped, In other words, the prosecutor said, no, that's, hey, I can't prove it. To heck with it. The customer is still out the 10%?
Yes.
That's correct. And the reason why that is, we are a commercial bail. We have service that we render. Mm-hmm. If a defendant get locked up for anything, it can be a minor traffic violation up to a major criminal offense.
Right.
Our business is to get that person released from jail, making with the surety that they're going to come back to their court dates.
Right.
Whatever they're charged with, we don't have anything to do with that. Mm-hmm. We're just responsible for that person.
Making sure they show up for the appearance. So regardless of the outcome, yes, whether it's guilty, innocence, or the prosecutor wakes up one day and says, throw this thing out. That's it.
That's correct. That's okay. What we're in business for.
And so it is the family or the defendant is making that investment.
Yeah.
But I think what came out earlier is that the court may not, if it's a cash bond where you got to put up all the money, that the court's got a discretion not that you're out that whole 100% as opposed to being out 10%.
Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
See, that's the part, just my basic elementary public school economics says, wouldn't it be better to run the risk and you're only out at the end of the day 10% of your money than all of your money? Yeah. See, that's the part that, see, I can't understand why people aren't given the flexibility. Because if you give people the flexibility, everybody would go with the 10% and nobody would take the 100%. And then these guys would have they would have work and they'd be prosperous and hiring people and the unemployment rate would go down. See, it's a positive thing. Let me go to another anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm going to take this my answer offline, but I wanted to know what level of force are they legally allowed to use in recovering somebody that, and you know, that's fleeing.
That's a great question, because obviously if you're going after somebody, you're trying to get them, and mm-hmm. you're trying to do it in a safe manner. What level of force? Is it the same level of force as sworn officers, meaning you can't fire unless you are in direct threat of your physical harm?
The use of force continuum is what we're speaking of here, and that entails necessary force. If you have a bare fist, open hand against me, then I can take it a step higher. I can take it to a spray, OC spray, pepper mace, a taser.
So that same thing that they train out at the IMPD's training center.
Yes,
that
sir.
That continuum. If you come at me nice, I'm coming at you nice. If you
yes,
come
sir.
At me with open hand, watch out.
Yes, sir.
And if you've drawn,
then
yeah.
See you later.
Does the force also allow you in the statutes that govern you, allow you once you announce yourself and you don't hear anything to just bust a door in?
That depends.
And I think that may also be what the caller was alluding to in terms of force.
Now we're talking about lawful addresses here, and we're talking about certain circumstances. If it's the warrant address, yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
I may forcefully enter the warrant address. Mm-hmm. But if it's a third-party address and I have not seen the person, or I don't have a solid reason to believe that person is in there, now we're looking at a whole other situation.
You mentioned the word warrant. Do you all have to wait for the court to officially put out a piece of paper saying, John Doe missed his court date, we now have a warrant to move?
No, legally we don't. A lot of times the warrant is more so something we use to pacify the situation, to let the people know, because most people want to deal with paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes people feel more at ease as opposed to trying to explain our authority to them. It makes them feel more at ease for us to show a warrant and show that we have paperwork for that particular address. However, that's where our authority becomes uncommon, in the fact that we can pursue you across state lines, and we can go into different circumstances, you know.
Is it fair to say that someone or someone's family that's dealing with you all are going to give you the correct address and the correct aliases, whereas somebody that's just doing the cash bond may come up with and miss one number on the address?
Well,
It doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't make a difference?
No, it doesn't, make a difference.
Because people sometimes get upset about, you know, not you all, the police came to my door and Pookie ain't lived there since 1943.
Well, it's up to us. I'm sorry. It's up to us to properly investigate it before we go out and to know where we're going. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though that paperwork says one thing, you got to realize there are certain situations that you may run in. You might walk into a person, there's just an elderly person in there. You don't want to just go kicking that door in, splintering the door, only to find a person in there having a heart attack because you done entered that place and little Pookie never lived there.
Right.
You know.
239-1310. 239-1310. And because you all are not government, then if you make a mistake, then that is liability against your company. Is that fair to say?
Yes,
it could be.
Because law enforcement has certain civil protections of certain liability, not all. But you see my point?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I see your point also. And also, you got to keep in mind, if the warrant is on an individual and we're looking for them, wherever that individual is, that warrant appears for that particular. Like if the warrant address is 1515 and they go out of 1515 and go into 1520, then that warrant is at 1520 because that individual just went into that address. We can go in there and get that defendant.
So if you, in your investigation, if you discover Pookie really at 1615, not 1515, and you got pretty good authority, they go in there and say, okay, we know Pookie really down the street. Mm-hmm. He built a tunnel
based on the information and surveillance we do when we're looking for a defendant. If we know that defendant is wherever that defendant is where that warrant is.
239-1310. 239-1310. This afternoon's names. We're talking about bail bonds and bail bondsmen. When we come back, our remaining moments, we'll also find out what should the community do if they got a loved one arrested, whether the arrest was justified or not? What should they do in terms of planning and preparing, you know, if they got to, you know, do a bail situation? It's after news with Amos after these. Back to the phones and Larry at 239-1310. Hi there.
You know what the problem is, Amos?
What?
Those qualified colored men that are sitting in there, they're professionals. That's the problem. And they're doing it according to the law. And that's why they want to change the law. And another thing, too, we better have bounty hunters. My friend Shake was a bounty hunter. Kevin Moore, he's dead now. But let me tell you, if we don't have bounty hunters, all the states are going to do is, and cities are going to do, maybe he'll stay out of our jurisdiction and we won't have to deal with him no more. So when they let you out of court on a cash bond, they're going to keep the money and hope you don't come to court and hope you don't come back in their jurisdiction and just add up the amount of criminals that are really on the street now because they have over 20,000 outstanding warrants right now in the criminal courts. All that problem is at large. If we don't have bounty hunters, it should be mandatory. When a criminal goes down there, he gets some skin in the game right away, especially if he's done something that's really wrong. So I just applaud these guys. And that the only reason they're getting dumped on is because they're colored. That's the only reason.
Appreciate it, Larry. Thank you. 239-1310. Is there a danger as crime is going up, or visible crime, or the perception of crime going up, and people are asking how come the bonds are not higher, that these cash bonds are being set lower? That people are getting out that shouldn't be getting out, or it should be a little bit more difficult for them to get out, or since this is really dollars to make sure that they show up in court, that it ought to be more surety bonds, putting more of the weight on, as Larry said, on you professionals to do what you need to do in order to ensure that if somebody skips out, they will be brought to justice.
I want to say this now that door has been opened. I'm going to use Hamilton County to outline this so everybody can understand what the topic of what we're talking about and what's going on with us. Hamilton County, if you have a bond, if it's a $10,000, it's $10,000 cash, full cash, or $10,000 surety, which is 10%.
Right.
That's implements, they abide by the law.
Okay.
Up there in the statutes.
Okay.
Marion County should be the same way. But when these individuals get out for 10% cash bond.
10% cash?
Cash bond, yes. They get out 10% of the, they take in 10% of the cash bond.
Mm-hmm.
As for the city of Indianapolis.
Right.
And the same as 10% as a surety company. And this is where we're having, this is why we're here talking about this
so
now.
The city, so the city is saying, pay me $10,000 cash, and they don't have the other 90% to back. In other words, the 90% is the taxpayer's money.
Right.
That's
correct. And if the person doesn't show up, then the taxpayer is out of the money, 90%. and if we don't have the people out there getting them back, then we've lost those dollars.
That's correct.
It's millions.
Mm-hmm. Now, in light of saying that, this we put the full 10% up. When we do the 10% surety, we put the full cash up. We write a check for, if it's $10,000, right, we write a check for $10,000 and put it up.
Right.
And that's why the commercial bail is in business, and that's why the bounty is in business. For if the defendant does not go to court, we'll go get the defendant and put them back in the court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the door is open to this, and I say right now, I think they give us an insult. It's an insult the way they lower the bonds. That there's not enough funds for us to do that. However, if we still write the bond, we're going to get the defendant. And we're going to put that defendant back in the jail.
Why would the system not want to have? I mean, we're Indiana. We're supposed to glorify the private sector, individual initiative. Is it that people are afraid because of the people that I'm talking to? Three are us-ing, one is them-ing. And I don't mean anything, you know, ain't talking negatively about you now, Mark. But them, he's a blue-eyed us-ing. There we go. Is that part of it? Maybe kind of, sort of?
Maybe kind of sorta. I tell you what,
because y'all are independent. You're like the insurance agent. You're the independent agent.
Yes. Same as State Farm. Almost.
Flow with muscles.
Yes.
Dennis Haybert with the rest powers.
That's it.
All right. So now you have learned something about the system, and as we have these community conversations about how do we lower crime, how do we reduce the level of violence, we need to also be thinking, is the bail system working the way it is supposed to work under the rules of the game, which is 100% cash, 10% down, and the bail bondsman and the bail bonds ladies, because there's some, they're not here today, but there are some, would back that up. See the things we've learned today. Byron Frierson, Mark Thompson, Lionel Wooden, and Kevin Watkins. Guys, thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
We've learned a lot today. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you.